There's a reason you're here. Hi there, this is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, and it's episode number 309. This is the daily podcast where we're reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Thanks for being here. Our reading today is Ecclesiastes 5 and 6. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, today, Lord, we're so happy to be in your presence. We know that you are omnipresent, you're everywhere, so you're always with us. But when we gather together around your word, I guess the difference is that we're more focused on you than we are when we're just going about our day. It's just such a good thing to acknowledge you and to set aside time specifically to be with you. We thank you for that. As we read today, help us to see beyond Solomon's cynicism and see how we can benefit from his life. Teach us, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's begin. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Be very careful when you go to worship God. It is better to listen to God than to give sacrifices like fools. Fools often do bad things, and they don't even know it. Be careful when you make promises to God. Be careful about what you say to Him. Don't let your feelings cause you to speak too soon. God is in heaven, and you are on earth, so you need to say only a few things to Him. This saying is true. Bad dreams come from too many worries, and too many words come from the mouth of a fool. If you make a promise to God, keep your promise. Don't be slow to do what you promised. God is not happy with fools. Give God what you promised to give Him. It is better to promise nothing than to promise something and not be able to do it. So don't let your words cause you to sin. Don't say to the priest, "I didn't mean what I said." If you do this, God might become angry with your words and destroy everything you have worked for. You should not let your useless dreams and bragging bring you trouble. You should respect God. In some country, you will see poor people who are forced to work very hard. You will see that it is not fair to them. It is against their rights. But don't be surprised. The ruler who forces them to work has another ruler who forces him. And there is still another ruler who forces both of these rulers. Even the king is a slave. His country owns him. Those who love money will never be satisfied with the money they have. Those who love wealth will not be satisfied when they get more and more. This also is senseless. The more wealth people have, the more friends they have to help spend it. So the rich really gain nothing. They can only look at their wealth. Those who work hard all day come home and sleep in peace. It is not important if they have little or much to eat. But the rich worry about their wealth and are not able to sleep. There is a very sad thing that I have seen happen in this life. People save their money for the future. Then something bad happens and they lose everything, so they have nothing to give their children. People come into the world with nothing, and when they die, they leave with nothing. They might work hard to get things, but they cannot take anything with them when they die. It is very sad that people leave the world just as they came. So what does a person gain from trying to catch the wind? They only get days that are filled with sadness and sorrow. In the end, they are troubled, sick, and angry. I've seen what is best for people to do on earth. They should eat, drink, and enjoy the work they have during their short time here. God has given them these few days, and that is all they have. If God gives some people wealth, property, and the power to enjoy those things, they should enjoy them. They should accept the things they have and enjoy their work. That is a gift from God. People don't have many years to live, so they must remember these things all their life. God will keep them busy with the work they love to do. Ecclesiastes 6. There is something else terribly unfair, and it troubles everyone on earth. God may give you everything you want, money, property, and wealth. Then God doesn't let you enjoy it, and someone you don't even know gets it all. That's senseless and terribly unfair. You may live a long time and have 100 children, But a child born dead is better off than you unless you enjoy life and have a decent burial. That child will never live to see the sun or to have a name, and it will go straight to the world of darkness. But it will still find more rest than you, even if you live 2,000 years and don't enjoy life. As you know, we all end up in the same place. We struggle just to have enough to eat, but we are never satisfied. We may be sensible, yet we're no better off than a fool. And if we're poor, it still doesn't do us any good to try to live right. It's better to enjoy what we have than to always want something else, because that makes no more sense than chasing the wind. Everything that happens was decided long ago. We humans know what we're like, and we can't argue with God because He is too strong for us. The more we talk, the less sense we make. So what good does it do to talk? Life is short and meaningless, and it fades away like a shadow. Who knows what is best for us? Who knows what will happen after we are gone? Well, beloved, Solomon begins chapter 5 with good advice. When coming to the house of God, it's better to listen than to run your mouth, as my dad would say. Actually, that's good advice in most situations, don't you think? You can't learn much when you're speaking, but when coming into the presence of the Lord, listening will always be more beneficial than speaking. And then Solomon went on to talk about the fact that money will never buy happiness. In fact, the more money you have, the more worries you have, according to Solomon. And who better to know that than the man who was richer than anybody? He said, "The best thing is to eat, drink, and enjoy the work you have." Well, at this point, Solomon, in all of his wisdom, is forgetting something very important, don't you think? He's looking at life from a very limited viewpoint. He's looking at life almost as one who has no relationship with God. When you leave God out of the equation, it's very easy to have a fatalistic view of the world. We'll get into this in more detail when we get to chapter 8, but for now I'll just say that the deeper your relationship with God, the more meaning you find in life. There's a reason you're here, if you're His. He has a purpose for your life. You matter. One of the saddest things in Scripture, in my opinion, is in chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. Solomon says, "You may live a long time and have 100 children, but a child born dead is better off than you unless you enjoy life and have a decent burial. That child will never live to see the sun or have a name, and it will go straight into the world of darkness. But it will still find more rest than you, even if you live 2,000 years and don't enjoy life. As you know, we'll all end up in the same place." Isn't that pathetic? A child born dead is better off than you unless you enjoy life and have a decent burial? Reminds me of Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh.
"End of the road, nothing to do, and no hope of things getting better."
I told you as we began this book that it's important to hang in there until the end. We'll have 3 more visits to Ecclesiastes. We're halfway through. It does get better. But before I sign off today, let me again encourage you with the thought that in Christ, life is full of meaning. If you're looking for meaning outside of Him, you're looking in all the wrong places, as the song says. If you want to have eternal meaning, it is only in Jesus. What do you think? Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Our reading tomorrow is the book of Haggai. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Life is good. Bye.